crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. Confession this morning. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If you would bow your head and confess your sin silently. The people silently confessing. Have mercy upon us, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquities and cleanse us from our sins. For we acknowledge our transgressions and our sins is ever before us. Create in us clean hearts, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Look through the congregation. We have active elders present under the sea. Billy, you'll come, and Sam will come, and John, you'll come.
The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come.
Thank you.
for these elements. But Lord, we thank you more for the meaning behind it. You go into Calvary. You die in our stead. You providing for us forgiveness, eternal life in your kingdom, around your throne. Thank you. Lord, bless this bread. Bless this cup. That it would be for us these moments, your body, your blood. Father, we know that they're only representatives. Let us experience your love for us in Christ Jesus. Thank you.
Our offertory sentence this morning is, do not merely listen to thy word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. If our ushers would come forward. Bulletins, our scripture this morning is Mark 4, 26 through 29. He also said, This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. Though he does not know how, all by itself the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God. Mary, Mary. Quite contrary. How does your garden grow? I've heard two versions of the next line. One of them I need to forget. Certainly don't need to say from the pulpit. You may have heard it too. But the real version, that was a polluted version, but the real version, silver bells and cockerel shells and pretty maids all in a row. O Lord, O Lord, how does your kingdom grow? We don't know, but it grows anyway. There is an outline of sorts in your insert, on your insert, if you'd like to kind of follow, and I'll try to follow that. The question that some people have, I have, after all these years being involved
in God's kingdom, or the earthly part of it as we know it, still have questions about how it grows. And different opinions of how it grows. But Jesus made a statement about how it grows. And basically the answer is that we don't know. We don't know. That is God's doings. And He's the only one that really needs to know how His kingdom grows. He has given us parts or jobs to perform. We play a little part in the kingdom growth, the building of His kingdom. Sometimes we want to rush it. Sometimes we want to adjust it. Sometimes we want to control it. And sometimes we think that, well, we've been made to feel so guilty in some cases because we're not doing it like somebody else thought it ought to be done. But it's really God's doing. He's called us, a better word maybe is He has privileged us. God has privileged us. He has given us the privilege of having a small part in building His kingdom. An important part, a necessary part, but it's that God's doing even that we have this part. Parable is found only in Mark's gospel. Or we might say it's unique to Mark's gospel. It's another parable about sowing seed and that seed growing. Or in the parable of the sower, that seed failing to grow. Or that seed failing to grow to maturity. And we might go back this morning in our thoughts and think of that parable, the parable of the sower. All the seed that is sown doesn't grow to maturity. The seed being God's Word. Someone said that Jesus was the sower, but there are some things in this parable that Jesus knows about. He says the sower doesn't know how it grows. Jesus knows about it. I believe in this one at least, He is talking to us. We're the sowers. We sow the seed. Sowing seeds of kindness, one little phrase and one little song says. Sowing the Word of God. We sow. God reaps. He has privileged us to have this job of sowing. Please don't think that this is just another sowing seed story or growing seed story. And then, since we have already looked at the others, it's not important. I think this tells us something about the sowing seed that the rest of them don't. Or adds to all of these. One person called this the parable of agricultural grace. We don't understand grace, do we? God loving us in spite of ourselves. God coming to us and redeeming us, not because we deserve it, not out of response to something that we have done, but God just comes to redeem us. He went and called Abraham back in a long time ago, however, back in when? Back in another era. Now He has called us to be a part and His kingdom grows. His kingdom grows. Charles Spurgeon, a preacher of a generation or two ago, a renowned preacher of his day, said that there is a lesson here in this parable for we who are laborers together in God's kingdom. That is what we are, is it not? We are laborers together in God's kingdom. Hopefully we are. Ideally we are. We are working together in building God's kingdom. So there's a lesson here for you as a laborer, me as a laborer in God's kingdom. A parable for all who are concerned with God's kingdom. And I trust that we are. Part of our interest of being here this morning is that we have some interest in God's kingdom. Or, as we know it, the church. His kingdom on this side of eternity, on this side of Jordan, as we call it. Four things, I think it is, that at least four that we can see in this parable. One is that it is our task to plant. It's our responsibility. Or it's our privilege, if you will. Or our opportunity. I like the word opportunity. I wrote a little article in the newsletter, I guess you read it this week, about giving. Or responding to needs or calls. It's an opportunity. One time someone wrote Dr. Billy Graham in a little section he had in one newspaper in one community where I lived. It was his answer, and it was a biblical answer. It wasn't just what Graham thought. It, every week, I think it would come out once a week, and I'd read it, and it was very biblical. But somebody wrote and said, what about all the sickness? What about all of the sickness in the world? Why don't God just heal all the people? What about all the hospitals and all the tragedy? And I think we could relate that to our situation right now on the coast of the United States, the Gulf Coast. And his response was, this gives us opportunity. Sick people. Gives us opportunity to show what kind of people we really are. How we respond to it. It gives nurses an opportunity to be of service in God's kingdom. It gives doctors an opportunity to be of service. It's a part of life, sickness is. And we have opportunities to respond to various needs. So we're called to plant the seed of the Word. We are to sow the Word of God. And this we can do. We cannot make the kingdom grow. We can try as we must. We can try any way we want to, but we cannot make God's kingdom grow. We cannot add one person to the kingdom. We might add church members. Or we might add church attendance. We might put a $100 bill under certain seats. At the end of the service, you turn up your seat or fill under your seat and see who's got the $100 bill. But that's not building the kingdom. It works to get people to count, to brag to your neighboring preacher how many more you have. We cannot make a person walk the aisle and get saved. We might convince them to walk the aisle, but God has to do the saving. But we can plant the Word of God. That's something that we can do. Huh? There's so many ways that we can plant it. We can give tracts. And I want to close this message with a little story about one little girl who bought a tract. Get ready for it. A little piece of paper with a gospel message on it. The TV, it's on Muse TV, and we talk about the TV evangelists, and some of them make a mockery. And I flip to Channel 15 and Channel 21 and then Channel 33 part of the time. A lot of them on there, Channel 17. And I see these charlatans. Can you call them that? These egotistical maniacs, as I see them. But some people, they're planting the Word of God in some people's mind. It's not the way I would do it. They're filling auditoriums. They're taking in millions and millions of dollars, and some of them are using them for good. But also, in the midst of this, you have some good sowers of the seed. And who are not there for the thrill of the moment. or the ego that they can build. TV, radio, you can still get the gospel on the radio, and some people are using this faithfully to sow or to plant the Word of God. We sow it in Sunday school. That's the purpose of Sunday school, sowing seeds. Bible studies. This fall, Bible studies are getting ready to gear up. Sermons. We've studied the Word of God. We've looked at 1 Corinthians this morning. We've looked at Mark. I'll quote some other passages this morning. We sow the seed, and preachers try to preach on it or expound upon it or elaborate upon it or explain it. Music. From my earliest days in the church, I was told, and I believe it, music, Christian music, has caused more people to respond to the love of God than sermons ever thought about doing. They touch the heart in a way that the spoken word cannot. And I don't understand it, because music, I'm limited in the music. You know that. In my musical ability. But some people responded. I'm not sure I didn't respond to God's calling partially through music. Hymns. Gospel songs. Personal testimony. Probably every one of us somewhere has given a personal testimony, stood up and spoke a personal testimony. But if you haven't done that, you've given a personal testimony through your life. And you've given a personal testimony one-on-one. It can be in a small group, one-on-one, or before a group. It can be over a cup of coffee. It can be as you meet in an elevator. You can share the word. My favorite one, and if we get on the elevator, it's going up, and I want to go down, and sometimes I still do this. You know, I've ridden elevators long enough to know that the arrow says down. That's, if I want to go down, that's the way to go. But I will still find myself jumping on the elevator. I want to go down, but it's going up. And I usually use this little phrase, well, if it keeps going, if I go the wrong way, up is toward heaven. And I end up there. And so I hope I'm just kind of sharing the Word of God just a little bit, that I believe in a heaven and I'd like to go. Probably won't get there on an elevator, but get closer maybe. A conversation. You know, someone may overhear a conversation that we're in. We may be in a conversation, Bill and I may be in a conversation, and Mr. Russ is standing over here and he hears us. And we're talking about God. We are sharing His Word. We may even be quoting Scripture. We may not be quoting Scripture, but we're talking about things of God. And Russ overhears it. And that plants the seed. That's planting the seed of the Word. We don't know how many people we have affected in a positive way, eternally, that way. The seed of the Word of God is sown. And we trust. We have to trust. We don't know how, but we trust that it will germinate. And that it will sprout. And that it will grow to maturity in that individual. When the seed of the Word is sown, there is growth. We don't know how. We cannot make it grow. We can merely wait. God's Word just tells us that His Word will not return void. That's what the prophet Isaiah said. Or rather, His Word will have an effect. I remember one time in my life as a youngster, God's Word was scary to me. Because I heard it quoted a lot, but I heard the scary parts. The frightening parts. But even that got my attention. It made me want to know the better parts of it. The redeeming portions of it. His word will have an effect somewhere, somehow. Because God knows what He is doing. We don't know what He is doing always. There is order in His growing of His kingdom. Like there was order, and there is order still. There was order to creation, and there still is order to the operation of the world. We can trust that God is in control. Ultimately, He is in control. Number three, God gives the increase. That is what the Apostle Paul said as he wrote to the Corinthians. See, I'm adding another portion of his word. There were some in Corinth who were claiming to be disciples of Apollos. There were others in Corinth who were claiming to be disciples or claiming allegiance to Paul. And Paul calls them to Jesus. The first chapter of 1 Corinthians and the third chapter, I believe it is, first and the third. He mentions himself, he mentions Apollos, but in the first chapter he's talking about it's Christ. Jesus the Christ. He's the Savior. It's not this preacher or that preacher. It wasn't Paul. It wasn't Apollos. And Paul said, I plant. Apollos watered. Apollos evidently was an eloquent speaker. Paul was a good writer. Long sentences. Run-on sentences. Jump from subject to subject sometimes, but it's there, buddy. All about God. God revealed so much to him, and I think it might have been coming so fast. I'll say it might have been because I really don't know. It was coming so fast that God was giving him thoughts, and he was trying to get them down. Had other people writing for him part of the time. Because sometimes he says, here I'm writing in my own hand. Large letters where you'll really understand. But he said, I plant. Apollos waters. Apollos could come in and make it sound so inviting, could he not? Paul wasn't really exciting most of the time, as I read it. But it's God. God that gives the increase. God makes His kingdom to grow. And then, fourthly, this parable tells us that there will be a harvest. Look at it. There will be a harvest. Consummation, if you will. The seed was not planted to grow and mature and remain in the field. I remember in my growing up days, farmers put their land in the land bank, I believe it was, some government program. And they could put their land in the land bank, and the federal government would pay them so much money not to grow a crop. And the grass that was grown on that field, they could not even, and there may still be programs like this, but they were not permitted or not allowed to even cut that grass for hay. They wanted the agricultural people in the know, supposedly, wanted that grass to grow and be turned back under. Or if they cut the grass, it would just deteriorate and go back to fertilize the land that was there, to rebuild the land that had been worn out. But in this parable concerning the kingdom, in the kingdom there will be a consummation. There will be a harvest. The seed is planted in order that there will be a harvest. We call it, one song says that there's a great day coming. Once years ago, I was real brave, and I tried to even preach on the great day coming, and I tried to sing that song. Boy, that offended 99% of the people in the congregation. Didn't offend me, but it embarrassed me trying to do it. You know the song, though, there's a great day coming. But for some, it'll be a terrible day. One of the scriptures says it's a great and terrible day. God will send Jesus to claim His children. Along with the harvest, there is a judgment. We'd like to forget that part. That there is a judgment for those who have not come into the kingdom, or not, the Word has not matured and grown in them. The Word has not had the effect of leading them to salvation. Consummation, the end of life on this earth. Someone said that this calls us to patience. This harvest, it calls us to hope. It calls us to preparedness. still you can ride along the highway and see these metal signs cut out in the shape of the cross, prepare to meet thy God. That may be a simple way to share the word or plant the seed, but it is the word. And many people drive by and they see it. Almost as many people as saw the Burma Shave signs. Some of you remember them. He calls us to preparedness, to be prepared. Here's this little story. A true story, or so I am told. A little girl loved the Lord and longed to share His message of Christ on the mission field. She wanted to be a missionary, but she was only a little girl and she could not go. But she wanted to. She contributed one penny to a missionary to help in his work of evangelizing the people of Burma. Myanmar, I believe, is the pronunciation of what Burma became over in India. She only had one penny. How important was that? The missionary was touched. You remember Jesus speaking favorably of that woman who had just a little bitty coin to place in the offering in the temple, and He praised her for it. The missionary was so touched by the little girl's response that he decided to do the most he could do with one little penny. He thought and he thought and he thought, and then he bought a gospel tract and personally gave it to a young chieftain. You can buy a sheet of paper now for about a penny. Printing on it costs a little more than that, but say a nickel now. You could get one little gospel tract for a nickel, probably. He gave it to a chieftain in India. The chieftain could not read, but he would not admit it. But he wanted to know what that little tract said. He traveled 250 miles to find someone who could read this little pamphlet to him. It was the gospel message. He read it, or had it read to him, and he made his profession of faith in Christ. He got saved through that one little tract. He became a Christian, a believer in Jesus. He went back to his people and he told them what the Lord had done for him. And later he invited missionaries to come and share Jesus with his village. And many of the tribesmen accepted the good news and they were converted or they were saved. And it started with one little penny. And one little printed page. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that your kingdom does not totally depend on us. That you're in control. But thank you that you have given us a part in building it. In Jesus' name. Amen. We are to sow God's Word. And God's Word must be in us if we are to be a part of the harvest. The song is 371. It's Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Let's sing 1 and 4, if you will. This song talks about the potter. God taking the clay like a potter and shaping us. But He takes the seed also that has been sown and causes it to grow as He wills. The same basic message to sowing the seed as God, as the potter, shaping us. 371, the first and the fourth thing.
Lord, have Thine own way. I am the bread. After thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold all my being. Have so in sway. Till all shall see Christ only
And may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace and give you blessings as you share His Word and the material blessings that He has shared with us. Amen.
I don't know.